Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us once again. Today is Wednesday, April 10th. If you are not aware, you have five more days for the taxes. I think it's due Monday. And so get on there and go at least file an extension if you have to. But don't get caught without filing. That's the worst thing you can do. Danny's running late this morning. She's stuck in stop and go traffic. Probably not much go. More stop than go. My traffic was pretty bad this morning, too. And when I woke up, I was tired as hell. And it's like you literally fall asleep driving, or at least I do. Not you, but I. People told me, you got to learn to speak in first person, you know. So most people talk to other people. But at any rate, so it's, you know, driving tired, it's like, it's dangerous. It's worse than drinking, you know. So Danny will be joining us in a few minutes, hopefully. The sooner the better. But I have actually full house here, and I'm very excited. We have an author and two of her entourage, right?
I like that.
Yeah, Lori, is it Finkelstein or Finkelstein? Remind me again.
Finkelstein.
If so
I can remember.
Right. Because people probably confuse you all the time. Right?
Sometimes it's Frankenstein, but that's another story.
So, but there's a difference, right? I think Stein is Jewish and Finkelstein is not necessarily Jewish. It's more like German, right?
Austrian, I believe.
Austrian?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. So that's your background, I guess.
Well, that's my husband's background.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I'm Polish-Russian.
Oh, really?
And he's Austrian something.
And what's your maiden name then?
Oh, that's a funny one. Wolkowitz.
Wolkowitz.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So, very Polish.
Yeah, it sounds Polish to me. Very cool. So Lori's back on the show. You were here, I think, last year or something.
Yes.
With your previous book. And we're going to talk about your new one as well and everything. I did want to introduce your entourage. We have Desiree. Welcome to the show, Desiree.
Hey, Sam. How you doing?
And Desiree is a good friend. I've known you for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And she's changed a couple of careers, but now you're in book publishing and PR and things mm-hmm. like that, right?
Exactly, yeah.
And how long have you been doing that? You've got your own company now. How
yes,
long have you had
Black
that?
Black Chateau, right. Into our third year right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank
you. And I mean, I follow you. You guys are growing, right?
We are. That's why we yeah. have Phil now.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's why we have the entourage.
Yeah. And I do want to introduce Phil. Welcome to the show, Phil.
Well, thank you very much. Fun to be back.
Yeah, I know. I used to know Phil. I still do. But we haven't seen each other in several years, I guess, several good years.
And yet you recognize me right away.
I recognize
you,
right?
Impressed.
Isn't that pretty cool? That's
very
good
cool.
PR. You see, that's how you build your brand, man, if I do say so myself. Mm-hmm. But no, so we knew each other, and I saw you. You know, Desiree, I saw him at the booth of your clients last year in the book festival.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wait a minute, I know this guy. How did he get here and interviewing? I don't get to interview these guys, and he does. So that was funny. But and then you also got Jennifer DeVoe, right, from the station,
yeah,
also
yeah.
covering stuff.
I know a lot of your people.
Yeah, you do.
it all started with Sheena Metal.
That's true.
That,
yeah.
that was my foray into LA Talk Radio many years ago.
Right. So you're yeah. definitely part of the family.
Yeah.
We can always arrange a room for you with a couch or something.
I love that.
You know, you don't have to leave. That's cool. So we have a great group, and we're going to focus, of course, on Lori, who is here with her books. So, Lori, you don't live here, if I remember correctly, right?
No, I live in the beautiful valley of Santa Clarita by Magic Mountain.
Uh-huh. And did you used to live in San Francisco or something up north? Why am I thinking of you being up north? No,
well, because I pretty much belong up there. I feel at home up in Northern California much more than I do in Southern California, except for the weather.
Did you used to live up there?
No, I have family up there, and I do travel up there often.
I see.
Yes.
So the wires must be confused in my brain or something, because I confused the place you're from with somebody else. But so Santa Clarita, that's just outside of L.A.
Yeah.
The very nice place to be, but you have to commute a lot, though, don't you?
I do. Unless if I don't leave my little valley, I'm nice and safe. But I do have to venture out. And I know Los Angeles. I grew up in the West Los Angeles area, and lived in San Fernando Valley for a while. So I know pretty much the whole area.
Yeah, and now you're out of the jungle, pretty much, right?
We still have a lot of traffic, but it's not quite as bad.
Right. I guess, Desiree, if you live outside of town, if you make your life there, if you don't have to commute, then there's nothing bad about it, you know. But if you go and live in Santa Clarita and you have to come to L.A. every day, I would die, no, Phil?
Yeah.
I did that commute when I first moved to L.A.
Really?
I worked in Beverly Hills, and I lived in Canyon Country in Santa Clarita.
Oh, no.
That was
what
awful.
A drive.
Yeah.
I mean, even without traffic, it's a long drive.
It is.
How did you do it? Did you do it every day?
I did it every day.
Oh, my God. I can't even imagine.
Yeah, hour and a half usually.
Wow.
One way, yeah.
And the traffic, just you get to points where it just doesn't move.
Nope.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know how people can sit in traffic like that every day where it doesn't move. I couldn't do it.
I used to fall asleep on the 5 freeway.
Right?
So, very dangerous road if I'm on there. It's not a good thing.
Right? That's what I'm saying. I mean, you can fall asleep in that kind of traffic. It's like monotonous, you know? Wow. So, very cool, Lori. So, you grew up here in L.A.?
I did. I grew up Olympic in La Cienega.
Cool. Do you have any siblings?
I have two sisters. One lives in Northern California, the other in Altadena.
Uh-huh.
And
Altadena is where they make the milk. No, I'm kidding.
They do.
So they do make it there.
Yes.
Okay, because there's a brand, there's a milk brand. Altadena.
Altadena, the dairy. Yeah.
Okay, so I wasn't wrong.
Off,
right?
Lots of cows there, still to this day.
Yeah. Cool. And Phil, what are you doing these days?
Well, I'm working with Desiree mostly. I also produce podcasts and do all sorts of
Music,
video work,
right?
And music, and yeah.
Yeah, I remember you liking music a lot and stuff.
I've always been in the creative space, writing and whatever I can get my hands on.
That's awesome, man. Well, that's cool. So, Lori, you... by the way, Desiree, I wanted to talk about the Festival of Books this weekend, right?
Yes, it is, yes.
And that's at USC, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I try to go there every year. Didn't they used to have it at UCLA once?
Many years ago, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
And now it's at USC. So, Lori, are you going to be there?
I'm going to be there. I'm very excited. I'll be doing my book signing from 11 to 1. Please come to booth 956. It's the Black Tote.
He's got it.
You didn't have to say a thing.
I love the motto. Wow. We'll have to hang that. You probably have it hanging on the booth, right?
Yeah. It's a really cool thing to go to. It's like a two-day free event. There are these great bands that play, and you get to meet all these independent and you know, even bigger authors. And then they have these really cool, where you get to sit and hear lectures from different people. And it's an amazing event. Like, if you're in the LA area, you got to come and check this thing out. It's no joke, especially if you have a family and you're looking for something to do with them on the weekend.
And if you love books, you know, I mean, obviously you need to love books, which I do. So, and you can always find books that are like you can't find anywhere else, you know, or maybe kind of rare or something, because there's places that actually sell books there too, you know. So it's definitely a fun thing, and that's going to be, so you're going to be at booth 956, and if you're in LA, definitely go. You guys say, Lori signs from 11 to 1.
Mm-hmm.
On Saturday. Okay, so it's Saturday and Sunday, right?
Yep.
Okay, I'm definitely going, man. I'll see you guys there for sure.
Cool.
Yeah. So, Lori, let's get into your books. Let's cover the first one first, since you already had written a book before. Do you want to?
do I want to?
Yeah, I don't know. You looked at each other. Am I saying something I should be saying?
Yeah, right. This is her current book, Next Therapist, and she's signing that at the Book Fest. And she has two books that are in the works right now, so they're not published yet. But one in particular, I thought you'd like to talk about.
Oh, God.
I'll just leave that at that.
Yeah, I have a reputation, folks. So the next book is called what, Lori?
The next book is called A Hoot.
Uh-huh.
It's an acronym for A Higher Order of Thinking, and it is a senior's experience with medical marijuana and what every marijuana virgin should know before lighting up.
Oh, and you are an authority on that.
I am.
Oh, wow. So you must be a user, a fellow user, let's say.
I'm a fellow user. I've been experimenting for the last 5 years documenting what I do, what it does to me, how it works, what's good, what's not.
That's cool. And you seem to be a happy person, so it must work for you.
Right, right. Well, I'm really heavy into CBD oil right now.
Okay.
And that's amazing.
So it does work.
My anxiety. CBD. Right.
Anxiety.
Oh, I have terrible anxiety.
So not a physical ailment, but...
No, mine are actually mental illnesses, anxiety, depression, OCD, and then other things, insomnia, stomach, you know, whatever.
Right.
It has solved so many of my problems
where
pharmaceuticals have not been able to.
I've got a question about that. There seems to be like so many different kinds of CBD and all of the medical marijuana stuff that's come out. Like, how do you know what's good, what's not, what's, you know, what works for you?
My theory here is, well, I've done 5 years of research, so you don't have to. I've documented everything, and I have a, so it's experimenting and learning the basics, and that's what I've done. I have a Instagram account, hashtag Cannabis Consumer Guide, and there I post my tips and tricks leading up to the book, which will eventually come out and have it all in the book.
Right.
So I do teach the difference between the different cannabinoids and what does what.
Right.
If you need what effect you need, what's the best way to go about getting it.
So you've researched this quite a bit in addition to just using and describing your experience.
Right.
For those of you who don't know, you know, CBD, because a lot of people don't understand what the hell all these letters mean.
Right.
But so just briefly, CBD is a portion of the marijuana plant that does not make you high, but has been found to provide a lot of benefits, health benefits to people. Right.
Extreme.
So people need to understand that at this point you can actually use stuff that was made from cannabis, but it doesn't at all feel like marijuana. I mean, you get it in oil, you get it in pills, you can get it in drinks, you know, whatever.
Just about every form. And like you said, it's important to know cannabis itself has like 400 compounds. But the average user really only needs to know two. One is the CBD, and that has no psychoactive properties at all. You cannot get high on CBD alone.
Exactly. And so people need to understand, even if you don't want to get high, you can get the benefits of the plant, the health benefits, without having to get high. Although I wouldn't know why, but, you know, why would you not want to get high?
The high is so much fun and beneficial in other ways.
It is. And notice how every time somebody brings it up, everybody laughs because it's the best thing, you know?
It is.
Yeah, it's the best thing for sure. So for those of you who don't know me that well, I often talk about it on the show that I'm a pretty much what they used to call potheads. But now I don't know what they call us now, but hopefully not couch potatoes, because I know I'm far from that. You know, I've used marijuana since I was 17 years old. And that was after being raised really anti-drug. You know, I grew up in Israel and then I came here at 16. By 17, I was sold on marijuana. You know, that was the 70s. You know, everybody smoked, you know. Parties, Chevy vans with water beds in the back.
The good old days.
Yeah. So you remember, right?
I do.
I'm not making it up.
No.
And I used to live in Vegas at the time, so the partying was just unbelievable. You know, people would drive down the street on Fremont Street. It used to be kind of it was a main street, but it was still small, you know.
Sure.
And people would cruise just like they did on Van Nuys Boulevard here. You know, all the cruising you see in American Graffiti and stuff. But this was in the 70s, and people would pass out like flyers. There's a party at the mountains, you know, or something. There's going to be kegs, you know, and everything, beer and all this shit. So people would go, and you'd meet people you wouldn't even know, but there was no social media then. So I'm thinking that's how people spread the word, like flyers on the street, you know?
Yeah.
So that was funny, but that just reminds me of the 70s and the kind of culture we had at the time. Today, like, so we talked about CBD. Now talk a little bit about THC, which is the other compound which does make you high, and that's why most people have used marijuana until now.
Yes, and THC is what puts the fun in the high. And the thing to know about the THC is there are hundreds and hundreds of strains. And so you need to know what a desired effect you want to determine what strain you should be using. And this is where the research comes in handy. For example, for daytime use and to be productive and creative, you want a sativa heavy strain.
Right.
Whereas if you're dealing with insomnia or just relaxing at night, you want a good indica strain.
Yeah.
And they both work differently. And the indica is more of a body high. It's relaxing. Whereas the sativa is a head high and keeps you creative. This may not be the drug for you.
Exactly. You need the opposite. You need, right, like, if you're too hyper, you know, get some indica and calm down a little bit. Slow down, you know. You're moving too fast. And that's me, really, you know. Uh-huh. I mean, and that's why I feel I need it, because otherwise I move too fast, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, the traffic is too slow for me. People are too slow. I lose my patience. And, you know, with marijuana, I'm like, okay, whatever, you know. I can sit in traffic and it's okay to not have to deal with the drivers. I don't pay attention to that. You know, I get into the music, focus on the driving, and that's it, you know? And I found, I mean, you know, people are saying, well, it's dangerous to drive. Well, yeah, you know, I mean, if you get really high, you definitely should not be driving, just like with alcohol, you know? But me, I've used it so much that my tolerance is high. And for me, it's just feeling good. I'm never really feeling high.
Right.
I'm just feeling good, you know, in a good mood, kind of relaxed and everything. And as opposed to alcohol, that if you have a little bit, you know, more than a glass or two, you lose control. You know, you don't want to get in the car. Mm-mm. And so that's one of the main differences. But I do later want to talk about how alcohol and marijuana are alike and different at the same time.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and why is it that alcohol gets the benefit of a doubt and marijuana hasn't?
Which is crazy.
Right?
It's insane. Wow. Alcohol damages every organ in your body.
Body.
Whereas marijuana has healing properties for your body. So they're completely opposite.
Right. And, you know, it's just a plant. I mean, I don't know why people can make like such big deals about it. But I've read the history of marijuana.
Money.
You know? Money, right?
It's all about money.
Yeah. But power, too, I think, because, you know, when they made it illegal in the 30s and everything, you know, and I read that they even gave it the name marijuana to make it sound like it came from Mexico and it's like only used by, you know, by people that are less than.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's what I read, because that wasn't always the name. But they wanted to demonize it, and that's what they called what they call it at the time?
Reefer madness.
Reefer madness. Yes. Thank you. Yeah.
I've got a great reefer madness poster at home. I'll be posting that on my Instagram account soon with something funny to go with that.
So before we go on, so tell us a little bit about the book. How did the book come about? So this is based on your experiences, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
First we should get a little background. Like, when did you discover marijuana?
Okay. Well, let me start by saying I did not like it in college. So I smoked a little in college, didn't like it, and left it alone, and used alcohol for all my fun times. Now,
why didn't you like it? What was it about it you didn't like?
Did you get too high? Yeah, I got too high. Yeah. I felt out of control. I didn't know what I was doing.
That's scary, right?
Yeah, and I didn't like the way it made me feel at the time.
Right.
So fast forward now, 5 years ago, I had a very severe insomnia problem, and I tried every pharmaceutical and over-the-counter medication that there was, or remedy, and none of them helped me, and most of them made me feel groggy in the morning. So
yeah,
it was very ineffective, and I thought...
What kind of medication were you taking, for example?
I tried Ambien, I tried Tylenol nighttime, I've tried melatonin.
Regulates your sleep.
Right, I've tried No-Doze, I've tried... No does? No, that's the opposite.
No wonder that didn't work.
Yeah, that one didn't work for a reason. So I thought, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, marijuana, that kept popping up. Maybe I should try it. But I didn't know anything about it. And I was driving in San Fernando Valley one day, and I saw a big green cross at a building. And I thought, oh, man, that must be a dispensary. U-turn, pull into the parking lot, get out. I pass by a really intimidating guard. Don't care. Walk in the door. And I started asking questions. Uh-huh. How do I get it? What do I do? Where do I start? And So the gentleman in there told me, well, you need your medical marijuana card first.
Right.
How do you get that? He told me. And
hey, $50, go to that doctor, you're getting your recommendation, you know?
Right.
And you tell them that you have insomnia, yeah. And
insomnia, anxiety, depression, chronic pain. There are so many things that it is good for, and it is very easy to get your medical marijuana card for that reason.
And now it's even easier because now it's legally recreational in California.
Yes.
So you don't have to have a card or anything. Just take your ID. You got to be 21. Walk in and they'll tell you exactly what you should get.
Yes. And I will say that if you are using it medically, do take the time to get your medical marijuana card because you don't pay full taxes.
Right. And not only that, but they're less regulated. So what I found is when I go to the medical ones, they still have the big jars where they pull it out. You start smelling it. You go, oh, wow, look at this flower, you know. Whereas in the recreational, they have to pre-measure it, put it in a jar, and sell it to you that way, and it dries up and all that stuff. So that's why I recommend still going to medical marijuana places because you get to choose from the jars. They serve it for you while you're there.
I didn't know that was even an option. That's fantastic advice.
Yeah.
I'm so happy right now.
You see, that's the point. That's why people need to get together. They learn new things all the time. So you discovered it that way. So you got your card and everything. You started going and you probably went, wow, I can't believe.
I know. It's like, where do I start?
Right.
So I started with flower because that's what I knew. And I experimented. I tried joints. I learned how to use a bong. I learned how to use a glass pipe. But I wasn't getting the control that I needed. I wanted to be able to dose better. So I needed a different dissemination system.
Because you felt you were getting too much, right?
Right. It's very hard to control. You know, when you're smoking a joint and it's burning, you don't want it just burning up while you're waiting to see if it's working. And
it doesn't always work right away.
No.
So people keep smoking. And I think that's what happened to you in college.
Yes.
Because I know that's what happened to people around me. Like my brother, he got that like paranoia the first time, never smoked again, you know. So people think, oh, that's the way it makes me. But you got to realize something. It's the dose, right?
It's the dose.
It's how much you take. Because like just like with alcohol, I mean, if you drink 5 glasses, you can expect to be pretty drunk. If you smoke a whole joint by yourself the first time ever, you're going to be high out of your mind.
It's going to last a long time.
Right.
And I do want people to know that if you do accidentally take a little bit too much, relax, because the intense feelings are going to dissipate within 10 minutes generally, and then it's going to mellow out. And that's important for every new user because there's anxiety in taking a drug, and the body will naturally have a form of anxiety, the rapid heartbeat, and of course, dry mouth. And so you just need to know that that's very temporary, and once that dissipates, you're going to be in a better place.
Yeah.
You know, I was told that And I tried it, and it really worked. That CBD actually will counteract
yes, it does.
The THC.
Yes.
So I took an edible, got way too high. thankfully, I was home, and I took some CBD, and it brought me right back down.
Really?
And it was, yeah, it was great.
Wow. I've just learned that. I had one very, very funny night where I did edibles. Edibles are tricky because they take up to a couple hours to work.
Yes.
And then once they're in your system, they last for much longer
right.
than any other.
So people have to be careful. I mean, an edible is something that you leave for later on where you have a little tolerance, you know? Because,
right.
Like with me, for example, like right now, I may be, you know, I mean, I had like a cookie in the morning, for mm-hmm. example, like an hour ago.
Uh-huh.
So now I'm feeling good. You
right.
see, I'm not high. I may be forgetting things I want to say sometimes, but that's about it. It happens to me sometimes on the show.
Happens
so much. Yeah, you know. But I'm on the radio, you know, it's kind of embarrassing
yeah.
sometimes. but it makes my morning. And let's get to really to the point, to that area around anxiety and depression and that,
mm-hmm.
because I find that to me, it was probably self-medication from the beginning, you know?
Sure.
I later in life realized or diagnosed with bipolar disorder, but it's not like it was something that was like, that I wasn't aware of. I mean, to me, it was always like, sometimes I just feel like shit, you know,
right.
and it feels really bad. And when I found marijuana, it was like, wow, you know, and it made me start thinking in different ways, appreciating music and sex and, you know, everything is better. It's like sharpened, right?
It's sharpened. It's heightened. It's yeah. elevated. Colors are brighter. Food tastes better. Music is more, it's deep and it resonates in your body in a different way than listening not high.
Right.
And there's other things that are that you wouldn't think about, but like doing housework is much better high.
Right. You have more motivation, right? I mean, that's true. Who would want to do it when they're free?
I don't like housework. And I discovered, for example, vacuuming, one of my least favorite duties, okay?
Uh-huh.
So, but if I get high,
uh-huh.
now I'm not just vacuuming. I'm imagining patterns on the floor. And in my course of following the patterns and doing this creative endeavor, by the time I finish, I've had a creative outlet and my floor is clean.
Yeah.
And I'm still relaxed.
Exactly. And you're ready for the next task,
I
right?
am.
So if you can't tell, her books are very funny.
Yeah.
Yes.
In case.
I'm sure. I'm sure. So let's mention the book by name, the one you're coming out with now.
A Hoot. A Higher Order of Thinking.
Okay, cool. So what's that going to be about? What can people expect? You said it's a guide to marijuana use for older adults. And I like that that niche and that target that you've chosen because these people don't get a lot of education about this, right?
No, and people age 65 and older are the biggest consumers coming into the market.
Really?
They are. And
I guess you also realize late in life, what the hell, you know? I mean, so I'm putting smoke in my body, but I'm feeling great, you know?
Well, it's so many chronic pain and many ailments that once you hit a certain age, your body just kind of falls apart a little bit.
Right.
And this is a way of making it work a little bit better.
Yeah, I think so. I'm definitely, with me, it was like, you know, from the beginning, I always had guilt smoking.
Mm.
But, you know, with the exception of a few breaks, like when I got married and then had the kids and stuff, I always smoked marijuana, you know. So, and now looking back, I remember the worst periods in my life were when I was not smoking.
That makes
you
sense.
You know, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, the woman I was married to at the time, the mother of my kids, I guess felt that she didn't like that I was smoking, right? So for a few years, I went without, and that's when I got divorced, you know, when I was at my, that's when I was at my worst, you know? So, yeah, I mean, sometimes it was miserable to be alive for me. That's how deep it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, after about 10, 15 years of being diagnosed with like depression and then being given Prozac and none of these were working, finally I was diagnosed as bipolar. And then when they have the right diagnosis, then they can give you the right medication. So I'm on medication and it's still, I mean, it definitely took me out of the realm of depression at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the medication, no depression. I still have a little irritability. That's why, you know, when I smoke, it smoothed the edges a little bit.
That's
right?
Exactly a good way of putting it. Absolutely.
Yeah. So listen to us glamorizing the drug here, you know what I mean? But the thing is it's really, there's not much downside to it, is there?
There.
I mean, you want to tell people about that too, right?
Right. Well, it's certainly not for everyone. Oh.
Yeah. We'll take a break for just a second to welcome Danny to the show. Danny, just close the door, sweetie. Okay. And so Danny's back. Phil, you can pull up a chair over here if you want. No, really. So you can, don't be outside the circle. Here, we'll do it like this. All right, Danny. So this is a good time to introduce.
Yes.
She was on the show before.
Yep. Hi, and, Danny. Hi. How are you?
And Desiree, you remember?
Of course.
She's been here several times. Mm-hmm. And this is Phil. And he's an old friend, too, and he works with Desiree now. So So this is the combination now. Now you get to rant for a few minutes because you had to sit in traffic.
For an hour and 15 minutes.
For an extra half fucking hour.
No, more than that.
But it's 10:30.
Yeah.
Usually it's... you get here before 10.
Yeah, and I just sit in the car.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell me, how long... an hour and a half?
I left my house at 9:10 because I was, like, hungry. So I was going to stop and get breakfast and a coffee. I'm like, okay, let me leave 5 minutes early. As soon as I got to the Laurel Canyon, didn't move.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't get away there.
No, there's no way to turn around. Because even if I was like, okay, Sam, I'm not coming. I have to come anyway. There's no
right.
way to turn around.
And there's traffic going the other way too,
yeah.
right? So you can't turn around.
Yep.
And if you turn around, man, that's a long way to go back. And
yeah.
Come back the other way,
like,
right?
This can't...
still be.
Yeah, and it just didn't pick up.
Yeah.
And then all the way through, I'm like, I'm so confused. There's like not an accident. There's nothing. It's just nobody's moving.
Right.
It was weird.
So this was the first time it happened to you?
Mm-hmm. Like that? Yeah. I mean, sometimes there'll be traffic, but I always get here on time.
No, that's true. But I mean, I've never seen the traffic in the morning in the canyons
mm-hmm.
not be like that, you know, because I think it's always like that.
No, it takes me like 18 minutes to get to West Hollywood to here.
What about the other direction? Is that like stopped when you come in
yep.
in the morning?
Oh, no, no.
So
I don't know. I don't really pay attention, if I'm going to be
okay.
honest.
Well, you would know. I mean,
yeah.
if you saw cars just stopped.
Both sides, both ways, not moving this morning.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can relax now. You can check your text or email if you want. But
no,
we're
I'm
talking
good.
About weed. So
okay.
Yeah, you'll enjoy it. She likes weed.
I haven't smoked in a while, but I do like weed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so Lori is here to introduce her new book and also her life story as far as... marijuana use, and she's got a book for a guide to marijuana use for older adults.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there we are. You know, and
so you smoking that weed, huh?
She smokes weed. She's a pothead. Just
all,
like,
all the time.
Yeah. And how long has it been? 4 years? Did you say
5 years?
5 years.
5 years. And and addressing the depression thing, there are more. I take all the pharmaceuticals for my depression, anxiety, and OCD, but it doesn't solve the problem. It it lessens it, but it doesn't solve the problem. So if I have a morning where I'm having trouble getting out of bed because of depression, I vape a little bit of a good sativa, something that's going to be uplifting, and within a few minutes, I'm like, I'm relaxed. I was like, yes, I can do this. I can get out of bed. I can handle this day.
Yeah.
And it's very powerful.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I mean, there's never a bad time to have a joint or something, you know?
I don't know if that's
it helps with everything. Well, at least for me. But did you notice, have you ever had sex when you were high on marijuana?
Mm-hmm.
Did you like it?
I smoke indica before I have sex. I won't smoke sativa.
Right. Mm-mm. And do you like it?
I like smoking indica before I hook up. Yeah, for sure.
So does it heighten the experience for you?
I think so.
Yeah, it does, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
110%.
So there you go. Even someone who's not a regular user, not a daily user, says the same thing. You know?
Have you ever smoked a hybrid?
I smoke everything.
Yeah.
But to me, they're all the same. That's why when people talk about sativa, indica.
They're not.
No. To me, it's all the same, you know.
That's
they even talk about stronger, not stronger.
Uh-huh.
I don't see the... at least it's probably because of my high tolerance.
Yeah, probably.
You've been smoking for so many years.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. To me, all of it is the same. You know? And you always try to chase the first high, but it'll never come again, you know. So, but you still...
Well, that's depressing for you.
Well, no,
know,
but I still no, but I enjoy it. I enjoy it a great deal. But no, but thanks to this, I'm also a very functioning user. You
see,
know
I'm not
I'm
really
saying?
Functioning. If I know I have shit to do, I can't smoke and be in public.
Yeah,
I smoked one time before I went to a fancy restaurant. I was like, don't ever let me smoke before we come out ever again.
Yeah,
I was like a weirdo.
How many people do you know can take 100 milligrams of an edible, Phil, and come to work, right? And fucking talk on the radio. You know, so what I'm saying is it's different, oh, yeah. You know? That's the way it is. And sometimes you can get a better high when you have an edible, but I definitely recommend that you don't start that way because if you don't like it, it doesn't go away. It'll stay with you for a while.
Yeah.
A little bit. It could be uncomfortable. So in my book, I definitely teach people to start out slow, go slow. I want people to learn the basics so they know what they're getting into. A really good way to start out is to identify what you want to accomplish, and that will determine your dissemination system and the strains that you use.
Right.
And then trying the different dissemination systems, and always go slow in the beginning. Right. And you will have a good experience.
What do you mean by dissemination system? Okay, like the way you consume it?
Right, exactly. Okay. Like I have found the vape pen to be ideal for me.
Yeah.
It is so easy. It's discreet.
Right. No smell.
You don't have the burning like smoking a joint or a bong.
Uh-huh. Well, speak for yourself. When I vape, I cough like hell. But
I know. I know,
it's
right?
It's different. Go on.
I've actually never vaped.
Really?
Mm-mm.
It's a wonderful way to
It's
consume.
Cool because it's very discreet. I mean, you can smoke it in a room and nobody would even notice. There's no smell.
I mean, you can always see when someone's vaping. I'm like, we see you, dude.
Oh, no. Because
you're vaping.
But these are vapes like the, you know, the cloud that comes out of the car.
Yeah.
That's not what we talk about.
I mean, the pens. Like, you can always tell when someone's vaping.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Some of them are like really, not everybody takes such big hits that people can see it.
Yeah. You know? My friend has my hairstylist, he actually just left Los Angeles because he has severe anxiety and he was like not doing well out here, but vaping, like when he was about to have a meltdown, he would vape as well, and he said it would help, like,
really,
it's like,
yeah,
really helped him with his anxiety. So
definitely,
I feel like that might be, there might be some truth to that,
right?
Maybe it just like hits you quicker or something.
Yeah,
I don't know,
but vaping is definitely like a high tech now, a modern way to consume marijuana without having to be really discovered, because really what gives you away every time is the smell. I mean, for crying out loud, nothing ever smells stronger than marijuana.
I love the smell.
I know, but everywhere.
I love it. I love the smell of marijuana.
Everywhere I smell, people, I don't like when people know that I smoke. So like, for example, like when I lived in the apartment, right, I would light up on the balcony and people would smell it and close the, you know, like they slam the windows shut and shit like that. You know, I'm like, so I'm feeling bad, but
right.
The smell goes everywhere, you know, so that's a drawback for me, you know, because it's hard to be discreet. So then, yes, but if you vape, you can stay next to your mother and vape and she won't mind. She'll ask you for some.
Yeah, now maybe I shouldn't say this, but I'm very afraid to fly.
Uh-huh.
Same.
So before I get on the plane, I go into the restroom with my vape pen. It doesn't make the smoke alarms go off, and I vape in the bathroom right before boarding, and that gets me.
I'm surprised they let people through security with vapes.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you.
They're not really looking for that.
Right.
Which is kind of scary in the grand scheme of things, is what if someone puts like a fucking bomb in their vape?
No, that's true. But
you know what I mean?
But not only that, it's not legal to take marijuana on planes.
No, it's not. I don't recommend it for the average person.
What do you mean false?
California just passed a law. You can fly through LAX with weed. You just can't.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, you can't. You can leave with weed. I just don't think you can come back with weed.
Exactly. And you can't take it anywhere else.
I think that's fucking cool. So you can literally go to Higher Path, get one of those, like, what is it? They look like cigarette. It looks like a cigarette pack, but it's all joints. Like, you literally can fly with that.
I don't think so.
Yeah,
not
you can.
With joints.
Yes, you can.
I'm telling you. Okay, but wherever you arrive, that's illegal there.
They're not checking your bags when you land, though.
No,
you just can't fly home with it.
Well, it depends on where you go. In Mexico, they check.
Well, yeah,
your
if you go, yeah, if you're going out of the country. But if I'm like flying from LA to Boston to visit my family, I can bring my dad
I
like
know,
a
I never would
pack of joints.
Never would. I would never take that, because I guess I'm still in the era where they would arrest you for shit like this, you know?
So, now you can go to the airport.
I know.
And they can't say shit.
I know.
I still don't think they should let you have it on a carry-on. Yeah. I think it should be
in the
luggage, obviously. I'm not comfortable with even you getting through security with the vape. That freaks me out, honestly. Yeah.
But you know what? I agree with you. But all I can say is, if you've never done like edibles before, and you think, well, maybe if I take an edible, it lasts me the whole flight and stuff. The high, don't do it, all right? Because with me,
paranoid, yeah, freaking out.
I started freaking out on the plane before it took off. I said, "What the hell am I doing here?
Yeah,
why is everybody so calm? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, everybody thinks, we just get on a bus and get there. Yeah. You don't know that. You know, that was the kind of thinking I had in my mind. I said, how do I get out of this? While we were up in the air, I said, you know what? On the way back, I'm driving the 10 hours. I'm not flying.
Did you drive the 10 hours?
No, I came back. Yeah. I didn't take an edible this time.
Yeah, no. So, have you seen the movie Bridesmaids?
No.
It reminds me of that scene, like they all took like drugs or something, and then she's like, there's a colonial woman on the wing, and they're like, emergency land. that would literally be me on an edible. I'm like, some shit's going on down there. On the no-fly list for the rest of my life.
That's funny. So, very cool, Lori. So you've got into the culture, let's say, right? I mean, do you go to like events and things like this?
But I will be. I'm looking for events to go to, and there's so many conventions I'm looking forward to going to.
Really?
Yeah.
And it's cool because people get to smoke, and you get to smoke with people and stuff. Mm-hmm. And yeah, when they did this before it became recreational, they did a couple of them in San Bernardino, the marijuana cup, the cannabis cup, and the High Times thing. And so they had like displays of different dispensaries, different products and all that stuff. And people would just walk around. You came with your recommendation, the medical, you know, the note from the doctor, and you could buy whatever you want. And you smoke around people. And what's better than that? You know, I mean, there's nothing cooler than everybody smoking weed.
It's a wonderful feeling.
Right?
And I love that restaurants are getting into the game and having special pot dinners where the foods are infused with pot. And so the whole
restaurant is that
it's a whole experience, and many chefs are taking up the call and
really
creating special
dinners. If somebody opened a restaurant that was strictly that, they would make so much fucking money.
That's true. I don't know if they would they allow it.
I don't know. I don't know how that works.
I know.
Yeah, because like, what if somebody like that's 15 comes in? Like, are you supposed to card everyone that goes in there?
Absolutely.
Probably.
Yeah.
21 older.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of liability would go into a business like that, but they would also make like a lot of money.
Yeah, that's true. Well, the fact that nobody's opened one yet maybe means you can't.
Yeah.
You know, I can't imagine. Well, maybe they would. I don't know, because
I just feel like if you like go and get scrambled eggs, how would that work? Like, are they putting like
THC the butter,
on
the
butter?
Oil, the oil, or the butter? Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Tincture, can of butter. Yeah.
Like you order mashed potatoes, it's in the mashed potatoes.
Right.
No, that's my kind of mashed potato.
Yeah.
And if you need to talk to an authority about making canna butter, which is cannabis butter, you can talk to me. Email me. Sam at LATalkRadio.com. I'll give you recipes and everything. No, but I make my own butter, and it's very simple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get a little machine that looks like a mixer. You put the butter in there. You put the weed in there. You let it all mix up for 2 hours. It heats it up. It mixes it and everything, blends it. You pull it out, take out all the liquid, put it back in the refrigerator. Mm. It gets hard again like the butter. You have butter. And I make cookies, you know?
Yeah, then it's time to bake.
Exactly. But it makes you gain weight, too, all these cookies.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's the other
obviously
thing about the edibles. Yeah. Edibles are, they have calories. So that's not my preference. And I want to say gummies are great, the little gummy bears, because they're even more discreet, or Jolly Ranchers.
That's true, huh? And they're light. They're not that heavy. I mean, as far as THC and
stuff.
Right,
they're very light. So you can pop them every, couple hours or something, and that's great. But you should know, for people that care about their health, most gummy bear, CBD, THC gummy bears have all those terrible
coloring, all that shit,
the dyes, a lot of gelatin. I'm vegetarian, so I certainly don't want to eat gelatin.
Right.
But I have found a company that makes CBD gummies using natural coloring with turmeric, grape juice, beets, and very little sugar and no preservatives. And yeah. So I've got those on order. I'll be trying them out, and then we'll be writing about that.
Cool.
And there's also, I know, oil that you put in your food. You just mm-hmm. pour a couple drops in your food, and I don't know about the taste, but, you know, marijuana doesn't taste that great. But no, I mean, if you put not too much in it and you eat your food that way, might be a pretty good feeling. Huh?
It absolutely could. I do use tinctures. I use a tincture in the morning of pure CBD oil in an oil base. And then when I go to sleep at night, I use a water soluble, which works a little bit differently, a little faster in the system, helps me get to sleep faster. And I'm losing my train of thought because I have that brain going.
Yeah, I know. And that's one of the things people need to know. You're going to lose a lot of your memories.
Not really important memories, so it's okay.
Exactly. But your train of thought will get disrupted sometimes.
Yes.
And that's a good thing. But
oh, I know what I wanted to say. The tinctures taste terrible.
Yes.
So I follow with the chaser of water really fast.
Really?
Oh, they're awful.
What so, is that?
The tinctures are like, tell her.
Yeah, they come in a little bottle with an eyedropper, and right. you measure out how many milligrams. 50
it's like
or
oil or something, you know, like
so it's
black
like how people
oil,
get acid.
Black oil
yeah,
and stuff.
Put it under your tongue. You let it hang out for about 30 seconds,
and it tastes nasty.
Oh, it's horrible.
But I don't see how water alone would get the taste out of your mouth. You
well,
know?
I know.
I would need my Diet Coke, you know,
right, or a glass of wine, or Bloody Mary, something.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I'd be bugging out.
So let me ask you. That's a good question. Is it wise to mix alcohol and weed? Do you find that you feel even better?
I like the combination, but I limit how much alcohol I drink. I limit myself to one drink. And one of the things that I found is interesting is if I am drinking, say, a good tequila, a good tasting tequila, and I take a sip and then I vape after that, the taste of the alcohol and the marijuana amplifies. And it's really, really nice.
It's really nice. And then you'll get the munchies and you'll start getting all kinds of food and everything will taste and feel good. I mean, the texture.
I like to smoke and drink if I'm hooking up. Other than that, forget about it. I'm not doing both. Nope. Not going to be out in public with some wine and some marijuana in my system.
Yeah, no, not in public. You don't want to if you only do it occasionally. But yeah, the texture becomes a big deal when you're high, when you eat food, you know?
Mm.
I mean, like chocolate, for example, if you're a chocolate lover and you're high, the chocolate tastes 10 times better, you know?
Everything.
I think everything tastes good when
everything,
you're high.
Yeah. I know. But, and also, so we're almost out of time. Well, we better hurry up there. There's so much to talk about, so you need to come back.
Mm. Okay, I'd love to.
All right, you'll come back. But for all of the you older folks who want to be introduced to marijuana and get it right from the source, pick up Lori's book. Lori Finkelstein, what's the name of the book again?
It is not out yet. It is called A Hoot, A Higher Order of Thinking. It's hanging out on an agent's desk. That's very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be getting it out as soon as possible. But in the meantime, do follow me on Instagram, hashtag Cannabis Consumer Guide, because there I am giving tips and tricks and good real basic information, solid information for people to follow.
Right. So you feel you're a certain authority on this, and you picked your niche and everything. Mm-hmm. And this is cool because,
whoa, you okay over there?
Yeah. You see, it happens. I mean, you're right on the fucking mic. It goes in people's ears.
Yeah.
But what can you do, you know? We're totally out of time, but you got the right market as far as your audience, and I congratulate you for that. And do come back.
Thank you.
And everybody, go see Lori at the Festival of Books booth. The booth number is 956. That's April 13th. You're going to be the Saturday signing from 11 to 1. But the festival itself is the 13th and 14th. Go to Black
Chateau's booth. Oh, shit, that's this weekend. It's the 10th. I can't believe it's the 10th.
Yeah. Go to Black Chateau's booth, right? Is that your booth then?
Yep, that's
The 956?
Yep.
Okay. And Desiree, what's the name of the company again?
Black Chateau.
Black Chateau.
And we have Books That Make You. I now have two companies.
Oh.
And we're sharing a big old massive booth.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's
you see?
Cool.
She knows how to promote herself. So.
Yeah, but.
Just.
What do you want to know?
I'm like waiting for you to say if people want to find you, are you going to be at the festival too?
Yeah, I'm going to be at the festival both days for sure in the booth.
Awesome. So you can find all these three at the festival. And that's it. Denny, thanks for making it despite it all, you know?
Yeah.
Now you get to calm down and relax a little bit.
Yeah, but like, what was that?
I don't know.
I'm not trying to leave an hour early tomorrow.
Yeah, no. It's not something that happens every day, you know?
Yeah, I'm debating, you know, I hate taking the highway. I'm debating taking the highway back because I just don't want to sit. And that means I won't get home till almost 1.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, thank you all for listening, really, truly, and we love you, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.